Spirit of the Lord says to you, behold, I do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Huh? Behold, I do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Give me the NIV, Isaiah 43. Start from verse, start from verse 17. Okay, start from 18. That's not what I wanted. Okay, read with me. 1, 2, 3, go. Things do not dwell on the past. Now, some of you need to actually read that again. Eh? 1, 2, 3, go. Huh? Do not dwell on. One more time, knowing exactly that you're talking to yourself. Eh? Huh? 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, go. Next verse. Verse 19. Uh-huh. 1, 2, 3, go.
See,
I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. When? When? Say it again. When?
Now.
When?
Now.
It springs up. Uh-huh. Go on. Do you not perceive it? Huh? Hey. Huh? Huh? I am making a way. Deserts and streams in the wasteland. Now, this is actually the word for the season. Eh? I know what I'm talking about. It's actually the word for the season. Now, when God says, listen carefully, when God says, I'm doing a new thing, do you not perceive it? Perception means it can't be seen, felt, heard with the five senses. That means it's not obvious. Yeah? That's why it needs to be perceived. Okay? It is not obvious. It needs to be perceived. Now, this is interesting because in Scripture in Ecclesiastes, the wise man Solomon says, there is nothing new under the sun. The thing that has been is the thing that shall be. Ah! And then here, Isaiah says, behold, I do a new thing. Yeah? Now, praise the living God. Eh? So, Solomon is supposedly the wise chap. Eh? Isaiah is not wise as Solomon. But Solomon is saying there's nothing new under the sun. But the Spirit of the Lord through a prophet says, behold, I do a new thing.
Amen.
Now, it's key that you understand, by the way, Solomon was not a prophet. Yeah? Okay. He was a king. And he was not a prophet. Now, he has an experience, as I've taught you before, that he said, I returned and saw under the sun. He returned from where? Huh? Yeah, we told him. He said, I returned and saw under the sun. Now, that means he came from a place above it. Okay? Now, he says, he saw, then he says, behold, there is nothing new under the sun. But there is a realm where things are constantly new. Eh? Praise the Lord. Okay. All right, let me start with something that will capture you. There's a man, I'm not good with names, eh? But I read something a while back, years back, of a man called, he had a weird name, Danion Brinkley. This man is very interesting to me because in the 1980s, he was struck by lightning twice. Twice. He died four times on a deathbed. He was a non-believer. When he came back, he talks about how he, in the other world that he experienced, he met a group of monks. Now, it's very important you get what I'm saying. Yeah? That you know that the experience of a believer when they leave this earth is different from that of a non-believer.
Yeah.
That's why stories don't seem to coincide.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. When a non-believer dies and comes back, the experience is never the same as that of a believer, even though they look similar. Now, he dies, goes across to the other world, and meets a group of monks in another dimension. There's even a book, if I remember correctly, it's called Saved by Light, referring to lightning. He wrote that book. Eh? Now, he's taken to another dimension, meets some monks, and these monks tell him about the future. He comes back and talks about how, this is 1980s, how the U.S. is going to have a president who was a former actor. Okay? Then he starts talking about how the Berlin Wall at that time was going to be brought down, which was impossible in the late 70s, early 80s, something you couldn't conceive. Eh? For those of you who don't know history, the Berlin Wall actually came down in 1989. Yeah? Yes, you go and check or you can Google right now. Now, here's what happened. This is an unbeliever. So he comes back and retells the story. Actually, his experience was so real that the Discovery Channel has a session on him. Okay? Struck twice by lightning. Four times dying on a deathbed. And each time have an experience of the future. Alright? Now he writes this book, talks about these things that are unknown in the spirit world, which all came to pass because Ronald Reagan was the actor he saw. He was told in the spirit by these groups of monks. Yeah? I'm getting somewhere. Now, so everything, even the Berlin Wall came down, and so people started to take him seriously after what he had talked about came to pass. Now, he started going to churches to talk about his experience, and he gives his testimony how he was a gambler. He was addicted to gambling. After the lightning strike, he developed a gift where he could look at something. If he was at a horse race, he could look at a horse and see a glory around it and know this one is going to win. Now, some of you are like, now what is this? Now, I'm getting somewhere. So, it's an unbeliever. So, he hadn't yet confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior because in the spirit world when he went, he didn't see Jesus. He saw monks. Okay? So he comes back and starts talking about an alternate world. A world out there that seems to influence this one. That people seem to be taking for granted. And he talks about this particular gift that he developed. So he got addicted to gambling and made a lot of money. Huh? Through this gift. He could just go at a roulette table, look, and could see the next number. I'm not going to say, may that be your portion, because... Okay? So, the thing is, along the way, he found that churches at that time were hesitant with the supernatural and the spiritual. And so, they resisted him. And to this very day, I stand to be corrected because I've taken time with that, but to this very day, he went into New Age. I'm hearing a lot of feedback. Can we solve? Or is it me? Anyway. So, he went into the New Age and got lost into that world. Eh? Right? One day, when the Lord allows, we shall touch in depth the difference between actual spirituality and New Age teaching. Yeah? Now, the life of the Christian and a human being is meant to be supernatural. Amen. Hear me very well. Eh? The life of a Christian, especially a human being, is meant to be supernatural. Here we had a man, not born again, having an experience, and when he comes back after that experience, he even has a spiritual gift. Quote unquote. There are things that are not limited to just Christians, but by mere fact that you are a human being and you have a spirit of God, you have access to the supernatural. It's actually the reason why some religions are so more supernatural than others, and yet they don't have Christ. Because the spirit man, by nature, can access the spirit absent of Christ. Amen. Eh? Yep, okay? Some of the friends that you have that are not born again have dreams and visions that actually foretell of things to come, yet they're not born again. Okay? There are some people on this earth born into this world with certain capacities and abilities. Okay, so some people have the capacity, they're just mathematical geniuses. And I'm not talking about your passing class. I'm talking about a person who it seems to be supernatural. You tell him a day, a month, any year, he'll tell you what day it was. Okay? That's a supernatural ability. There's some people who have an ability, for example, to see farther than others. Some people have an ability to hear more than others. Some abilities seem to be talents, but they have spiritual attributes to them. So, for example, there are people, and I know some, when they hear sounds, they see images. There are people who, it's the reverse. When they see images, they hear voices. There are people, just by testing something, can see your story. Huh? There's a lady I read, I don't remember her name, in India, who had the capacity. Now, it's very important you hear what I'm saying, because there are 9 spiritual gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians, chapter what? 12, eh? There are 9 spiritual gifts mentioned. Those spiritual gifts are standard in themselves. You can look and if you find the 9. But now, the way the 9 are expressed is different. There are different dimensions of the 9. So, for example, tongues and the interpretation of tongues. This particular lady in India, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon her, she'll start to speak in tongues, then write them down. And then interpret what she has been written, what has been written, and it's a prophecy. She wrote an entire book on that. Okay? There are people, prophesying is not just by words. I can act a prophecy and be prophesying to you, and I'm acting it. That's why sometimes you can pick someone out, and it seems like I'm talking to this person, yet I'm talking to the person right next to them. Okay? There are acts of prophecy. Okay? So there are 9 spiritual gifts, but each with different dimensions in which they operate. Some person can come lay hands for healing. Someone says, go drink milk. And you're healed. Okay? Praise the Lord. Eh? Now, very important, you know where I'm heading with this. Eh? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 17. Take me there. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 17. Now, before we read that, it's important you understand why I've told you what I've told you. That all these people that have these particular abilities, we often label them as special. And yet, it is supposed to be the norm. All these particular individuals, whether they're good in mathematics supernaturally, whether they can see in the spirit supernaturally, whether they can dream things and they come to pass supernaturally, not all of us have all those gifts. But all these particular individuals are a sign to us of what a perfect man before Adam fell was supposed to be like. Okay? So, if Adam had not fallen, you would be bad news in mathematics. Amen. Now for me, math just, there's this series called numbers. It gives me headache. Huh? Math just doesn't work for me. So it was a sign of the supernatural, the man, the perfect man, how Adam was supposed to be before the fall. Now, when I was teaching sometime, I taught that the world was given to man. When it was given to man, when man fell, the authority of that world was given to someone else. Jesus comes back, restores it. Now, if your eyes are opened in the spirit, you will learn, like I've taught before, that every plant, every animal, every human being, anything that has a sense of life, has a spiritual being attached to it. I know what I'm talking about. Now, every single one. Now, the true essence of it is that before the fall, angels had no authority here absent of man. Before the fall. The idea of God was to replenish, Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. What you see as angels in charge of plants today was supposed to be some man or woman in charge of that area. Today we see the signs of that when certain people are drawn to certain animals. They love animals more than others. The rest of you just look and say, someone is holding a snake on National Geographic, saying it's a beautiful creature, and you're saying, yeah, right. Okay? It's a beautiful creature. Someone wants to become a botanist and start looking at flowers and the different types, and you're like, oh my God. Like, life has more interesting things than that. Because it's often a sign in this world and the world after of the realm that you're called to. And had Adam not fallen, that would have been your area. Too deep? No. It's not too deep. No. Eh? Which brings me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. 17. That God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is, number one, the hope of his calling. Number two, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And 19, number three, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us what who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Amen. Now, he says, he's praying that you might have the spirit of wisdom. Amen. And revelation.
Amen.
There's a book by Kenneth Hagin, a small book, where he wrote and said, when he fell upon a scripture like this one, every day he would speak, Lord, give me wisdom, revelation.
Amen.
Give me wisdom and revelation. Amen. Every day that was his prayer.
Amen.
Until one day he was entering his kitchen and a voice said, now I have given you understanding of visions and dreams.
Amen.
And he walked into it.
Amen.
That's a person just repeating one scripture.
Amen.
One scripture, not even knowing, you don't need to know more. One like this. The Bible says of Daniel 1:17, that he and his friends were skilled and had understanding, but Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Yes? That's a specific gift that Daniel had upon him. Pop! But yet, the Bible goes on to say in Daniel, chapter 8, verse 15, Daniel has an experience. He's taken into the spirit world, sees a vision, and he says he's trying to understand it. The same person who was given a gift to understand all visions and dreams is taken to the spirit world. And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning. He's looking for it. This is not just any normal person. This is a person who has the gift of understanding all. Yes? He's taken in, sees something, and doesn't understand it. Now, this is important you get this. And this is why the Spirit of the Lord has brought you here today.
Amen.
There is a place where your gift cannot take you. There is a place, just like Daniel here, where only relationship can reveal certain things.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I was explaining to someone when I sat with someone recently. Sorry. I sat with someone recently. I was explaining how the Lord, myself not being a prophet, was teaching me about the prophetic. Okay? And the reason was primarily because I'm a teacher. Okay? And some of this stuff must be passed on to you. And I was explaining to her that, you see, let me give you a little secret. Paul prays here that the eyes of your understanding might be opened.
Amen.
Okay? Now, every day God is doing something new around you.
Amen.
But you just don't perceive it. Every day God shows you a sign of something. You just don't perceive it. Every day the door to your prayer, to answer to your prayer, is before you almost every day, from the time you wake up till you go to sleep. but you just don't perceive it. Now, let me tell you, because I sense there's some who have come for prophecy, and it's okay. Now, it's okay. Now, because prophecy in itself is a gift, and sometimes it's timely. But there is a place you need to grow beyond receiving a prophecy.
Amen.
And you have to start receiving the promptings of the Spirit.
Amen.
I want to be taught to you that no matter how many times you go to a man who has a gift of the prophetic and he prophesies to you, there are certain revelations that God keeps to give to you personally.
Amen.
I'm telling you. That's why if you look through scripture, the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 of a man called Simeon. The Bible says the Holy Ghost was upon him and had told him that he would not die. Actually, scripture says and had revealed to him, that's revelation, that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. He didn't tell anyone about it, kept it to himself. It's a personal revelation. There were other chaps there probably deep quoting whatever they wanted. But God has the ability to come to one person giving something personal. Just because it's a relationship thing. There are only a handful of people, even now in eternity, who have the ability to testify to what Simeon and Anna had. To see Christ and hold him as a child by revelation. None of us here can claim that. None of the people who came after them. Because there might have been people who held him. But the ones we know who held him by revelation, knowing who he was, that's a different thing altogether. In heaven, they walk around like this. Yeah, that's us. How did it feel holding him like a baby? Come on, I tell you. Okay? Praise the Lord. There are revelations that God keeps for you personally. You can seek a prophet, and I know for a fact, you can seek it if a prophet, by the Spirit, is wise and used of the Spirit of God. He will dilly-dally around and leave it ambiguous. Then you go, man of God, what did you mean by this? Now, nowadays, they are hard to find. So God helps you. You seek him, Lord. Please. But usually, some people have given people prophecies here. And let me tell you frankly, when I prophesy here, the moment I walk out, I forget what I've said. And God is my witness. So you come to me and ask me what I said. Then I say, what did I say? Then you recount to me the entire thing. Then I'm like, what does that mean? Because we are channels. Yes? We are channels. There are things that God keeps that he wants you to have directly from him. Directly. Now, I was explaining to someone about the prophetic that I began to learn that when you're seeing in the spirit, spiritual eyes, I can pick out someone, look at them, yes? And as I begin to prophesy, I look away. But in the spirit, I'm still looking at them.
Amen.
Because spiritual eyes are 360 degrees.
Amen.
Now, I know how some of your eyes, you're thinking, eh? I know how you think, eh? They are 360 degrees. That's why sometimes you see a man of God touch someone and look away, but he's still seeing the person before him. That's why you will see, now let me mess you up, for those who know, you will see a person kneel down before God, put his face down, and you think in the spirit that's what he's doing. But he's looking at God right in front of him. Okay, that's another day. Okay. Now, if you understand that, you will know that if I'm coming this side to pick someone, sometimes I can pick out someone, be prophesying to a person while I'm looking around.
Amen. Amen.
I say men are incapable of multitasking. Not a spiritual man. Eh? So you lay hands on someone, even stop halfway when you've picked someone else.
Amen.
The dimensions of the spirit are so vast that if you block them out into one thing, you miss it. Now, here's the thing. The highest level of revelation you can get is when God himself comes directly and gives you a message.
Amen.
May that be your portion.
Amen.
The lowest level of revelation is perception and promptings in the spirit man. Perceptions and promptings. Now, this is where you need to pay very close attention. Because you see, inside every one of us is the ability to know the future. There is no one here. That's why you can tell when you're in stagnation. No one had to come and say, I perceive you're in stagnation. You just come, man of God, I'm in stagnation. Who told you? Because you perceive that you've been here too long. Let me tell you something. That the Spirit of the Lord, the way He works, like I said, at certain points in your life, brings to you revelation personally. There are times you could be sitting in a congregation like this, and as a man of God is ministering, you are able to tell his next sentence. Now you think, oh my God, yes, I've got it. Yes, I was going to say that. Yet the very same Spirit that speaks to me has just told you the next thing. Let me tell you, what has actually happened, that's what we call koinonia, fellowship. A man is ministering, but you're in fellowship with him that you can catch the next phrases.
Amen.
There is such a deep level of fellowship that when the man of God is not showing up, you know beforehand.
Yes.
Now for those who don't know, don't worry. Yeah. But I'm trying to tell you, there are certain levels that shows you the level at which you are connected to an anointing. You can almost tell when a person has entered even though your eyes are closed.
Amen.
It's a connection.
Amen.
An intimacy.
Amen.
With a particular anointing.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, the Bible says, I need you to be very careful and pay close attention to what I'm saying. Because you see, every one of us here has spiritual eyes. Every one of us here has the ability at the lowest level to perceive. Every one of us. The reason why God, someone asked me, why doesn't God just come at the highest level? Save us all the time. You understand? Lord, why don't you just come and say, I am the Lord. This is the job you're supposed to have. The reason why God doesn't do that is because God wants you to grow spiritually. Now, here's the truth about it. If God appeared physically or supernaturally every single time he was speaking to you, you'd become a robot. He speaks, you do. He speaks, you do. And yet the desire of God is that once in a while you say, but I like this green dress. And it's not because of him, but you just and then he joins into your like and your one, you say, yeah, go with the green dress. And you see, the desire of the Lord is this, that ultimately,
amen,
ultimately, a man's desires and likes, the man's will is so connected to God's will that he can give an opinion and it's God speaking.
Amen.
That is what you call the mind of Christ.
Amen.
1 Corinthians. Huh? But we have the mind of Christ. The epitome of it is actually when the will of God has been, what we were singing. Eh? My will is enshrined in your love.
Amen.
The wills become one.
Amen.
When they become one, suddenly you become a sign of the gospel. So let me explain. In the Psalms, David wrote a number of them. The Psalms that he wrote were not supposed to be prophecies. They are songs. They are songs. The guy is just there saying, the Lord said to my Lord. He's just singing. In the process of singing, the Spirit of the Lord comes and prophecy unfolds.
Amen.
There is no particular intention to prophesy.
Amen.
Psalms are songs. They were sung. Are you with me?
Yes.
That's why there are only two parts of Scripture. Isaiah and Psalms are the books that talk about the Messiah's coming the most. And yet the entire time a man is just singing. And as he's singing, boop, the spirit falls upon him. Now, weren't there other singers? There are other psalms that were written by other singers. True. But David stands out because of an intimacy he has with a man. With God. Not a man, with God. And he has that intimacy, and even in his situations, he's speaking of God. You know, the Bible says of Jesus, he says, my Lord, why have you forsaken me? David sang that and he was in a situation. You think he was thinking about Jesus? No. Some of you, the situations you, sometimes, and let me tell you, what you think, let me leave it. But there are things that you will go through. I have to use heartbreak, it's what I sense the most here. But now there's a renewal, praise the Lord. Okay, so heartbreak, loss of a job, stagnation, brokenness, not your portion. All those things that you come before God, and there are things that you will say that are actually in the spirit. You will be shocked when you come before God and God was speaking through you. Yeah, I'm telling you. And some people's theology is wonderful. Because you see, David complained. And Jesus goes on the cross and says exactly the same things. And a man was busy complaining about his situation. Now, hear me carefully. That the desire of the Lord is that you be so intertwined with him. Amen. That when you give opinion, even when it seems like sometimes, okay, let me give you an example. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul, who is unmarried, gives information on marriage. Now that will hit some chaps who come around and say, "Cut! Now how long have you been married? You're giving us..." Now, experience is very necessary in marriage. For those who are married, you know, eh? It's very necessary. But the revelations that God can put on a man and mess you up. So Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 talks about marriage. Then there's a certain point where he reaches and he says, "I give my opinion. But it is scripture and you quote it." Acts chapter 15. Take me to verse 25. Acts 15 and verse 25. Quick. "It seemed good unto us." These are the apostles who came together. They met Paul and Barnabas, and the argument was, is the gospel meant to go to the Gentiles? Then they used the word, "It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul." They're talking to Gentiles. It's a letter that was sent. But he's using the word "seemed," meaning it's an opinion. That means God didn't show up and say, "Hey, listen, I have sent Paul to the Gentiles." He lets them sit down, accord within each other, and say, "No, this, I think this is right." Verse 28, take me to verse 28. 28 then says, "For it seemed good to the Holy God and..." Yeah. Now they're saying, before it seemed just to them, but now it's also the Holy Ghost and them. Where a man gives an opinion and God says, that's it. And you see, the more a man or a woman is given unto God, you will be shocked where the times, and it explains why God can appear and say, "What do you think?" Or says, "What do you think we should do?" And they say, "How? But you're the all-knowing God." Do you know how God loves to see his image in you? How he likes to see a little godliness. Huh? You speak and he says, "Yep, that's me." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through perceptions, prop things. You don't always need to see an angel. Hey, praise the Lord. Amen. Now, let me tell you. "Behold, I do a new thing. Do you not?" There's something we crossed over from last week in the spirit. There was a change. That change spiritually, if you saw it, or if you felt, that change spiritually has ushered people, especially Christians, into a new level until the next season, which is a while away. In this season, God is sorting out people financially.
Amen.
Now, hear what's going to happen. Hear from a teacher what's going to happen. Eh? Now, you're going to see more people, Christians, and not just Christians, but Christians. Eh?
Amen.
You're going to see them in the papers, newspapers. Eh?
Amen.
You're going to see them in tabloids.
Amen.
And people will ask Naevan, where are they getting their money?
Amen.
And you're going to see, where are they getting their money from? Because, you see, yeah? Okay. Because you see, and you see, this is where you need to be extremely careful, because I see some of you, and even as I was praying, the Lord showed me some things. That you see, sometimes when you see someone has been proposed to and you're not married,
huh?
When you see that, the first thing is, the first thing should never be, nay, what about me, Lord? Huh? Like I told you last time, one of the first things should be, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. You see, you know the place where Jesus reads scripture, sees himself in it, huh? And says it has been fulfilled. It is actually a certain gift to be able to tell when a scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.
Amen.
And it seems like a simple statement, but every day around you, in your life, scripture is fulfilled. But you don't perceive it.
Not anymore. You shall perceive it. Amen.
Let me help someone. Let me help someone. You need to learn your threshold in the spirit.
Amen.
That means threshold. Where is Emma? He's not here. Okay. No, this one doesn't work quite right. Eh? I want the other one. Huh? Threshold. Eh? The thresholds in the spirit. That means you must learn. If you're in a house of 500,000 and you can't pay rent for the house of 500,000, it is silly spiritually to think you can move to a house of $800. Because there is a rule in the spirit. Every revelation has a precursor revelation. Revelations have precept upon precept. If you don't conquer the first revelation, you can't go to the next one. I'm telling you. That's why if you even look through scripture, even in the revelations of Christ, Jesus to people had to first be revealed, especially with the woman, the Samaritan woman. He's first revealed as Sir. Then she calls him Master. Then she calls him Prophet. Then she calls him Messiah.
Amen.
Jesus in scripture has to take his disciples to a point where he asks them, who do you say I am? When they say, when Peter says, you are Christ, then he reveals his sufferings. Before that, he can't. Because there's a revelation you can't handle until you've got a particular revelation before it. So, for example, how can you heal if you don't have a revelation of health for yourself?
Amen. Amen.
You guys.
Amen.
How can you multiply money if you don't believe God wants you to be wealthy?
Amen.
Is it possible that you are touching yourself, or some people attach themselves to revelations when they've missed the precursor revelation? And so the thing is that, in the spirit, if I move to a house of 500,000, and by the spirit, yes, I start out shaky, and somehow I enter normal rate. I've somehow believed God for 500, and it keeps coming.
Amen.
Miraculously.
Amen.
In the spirit, you've conquered it.
Amen.
You will never be comfortable under 500,000. Never. Because you are a senior in that area. Then you move on to the next one. And you can often tell your range. You can tell your range.
Amen.
I say again, if the house of 500 is defeating me, the thing is to grow the revelation enough to say, have you seen this 500,000? Conquered.
Amen.
Then the Lord says, now move on to the next one. Let me give you an example. If a man has, every anointing has boundaries, and those boundaries need to grow, especially amongst ministers. If I have an anointing, or if someone has an anointing for 500 people, If they gave them a 7,000 seater congregation, within a space of time, it will reduce back to 500. If they gave that person 5 people, it will increase until 500. Because it's a level in the spirit. Until you move on to the next thing. Hey, some people just shake their heads. Even if you don't get, the spirit will reveal it to you. Okay? There are times the Lord can tell me, there's a lady, even me, every day, when I sit with my fellow men of God, there are things that God teaches me. And because I'm a teacher, I have learned to articulate them. So, I'll give you an example. There's a lady I saw last week. She came to me, and well, I won't say her name, but maybe she'll testify about it. But she came to me, and she had told God, this is my particular issue. I won't tell this guy this issue. I'll talk about everything else, but this particular issue. Imagine putting me at stake like that. Anyway, I'm just joking. So, and I'm not encouraging you guys to do that. Eh? So she comes and we meet, and usually, for those who have met me, I'm freelance. Eh? I'm not your usual man or God. Eh? And say, now, let me see. But lift up your hands. No. So we talked casually for about, 45 minutes? I prayed for a few things. There were things that I was seeing in the spirit, and indeed I saw them, and they were right. And we spoke, except this thing. Then, as she was about to get up, she took out 20,000. She's in here, she's in this room. Took out 20,000, put it down. The moment she put it down, I saw rent written on it. Eh? Now, wasn't I seeing in the spirit before? Now, these are the things that shock me. And you need to learn how, because I was seeing, but I did not see that particular thing. She brings out 20,000. 20, not 100 million. 20,000. Puts it there. And in an instant, I see the issue that she had wanted me to pinpoint. Now, she testified. Because you see, in that moment, I did a 30-second prayer. I don't even remember what I said. 30 seconds. You receive whatever you want, whatever. 30 minutes, she comes back running. I've received the rent. Now, while she was there rejoicing for that, the Spirit was teaching me something else. And he said, I want you to understand that I never show something unless I have a solution to it. Never. God never reveals a secret unless he has a solution. And more often than not, the solution is instant. There are things that God can hide from men just so that a person can participate in the prophecy. So it's not enough just to come and say, oh my God, oh my God, man of God, now what? For that lady, and it's different for different people, because I don't want you to perceive that it's just financial. It's different for different people. Because for her, her release was 20K. 20K! 20K! And you say, men of God are being made rich. 20K is releasing someone's rent. Amen. 10 times more. And that's why you need to learn principles in the spirit, because that's why I say, until you've got the revelation of it, someone will shake you. So somehow you believe God can provide, but you haven't captured the revelation of providing for 200K. Someone will come and say, but that stuff is a waste of time. And they seem better off than you, because the revelation hasn't yet been anchored in you. Let me tell you, there is no way any friend that I've had for years can come to me and tell me these things don't work. Amen. Because they know my before and my up. There is no way. Amen. absolutely no way. Ah, praise the Lord. Now, behold, I do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? In the spirit, now let me touch something, because I'm going to teach this to our partners when the Lord allows. Eh? But there are dimensions of seeing. I can look at someone, see their age, see their likes, dislikes, but don't have the capacity to see their crucial problem. There are dimensions of seeing. Sometimes we get moved by people just being able to pick words of knowledge, but can't sort the crucial issue, because there are dimensions of seeing. If your eyes were opened, you'd know. Let me explain. I can look at one person, tell them their age, look at another, and say your issue is rent. And that rent issue sorts everything out. But telling someone their age is a sign that God has spoken, but it's one dimension of seeing. There are people who have conquered it, but they haven't gone further to pick issues and solutions to them. You're with me? Then there is a dimension of seeing that I learned. I can look at a person, look at their leg, and some of you need to learn this. You look at their leg and you see it broken. And you say, did you break your leg? And the person says no. Because you can look at something and you're seeing it's tomorrow. And you guys. Huh? Now I'm just giving an example. You're seeing it's tomorrow. All those are dynamics of seeing. Hey, you guys. There are times a person can, this is for people in terms of revelation and healing. There are times you can look at a person. Your light, there's what they call bioluminescence. It's a scientific term. They discovered that a human body emits light. Scientists saw it and they said, where's the light coming from? There's a spirit inside. They saw that the light disappears the moment a person dies. So it can't just be body light. Now, every one of us here, your spirit is emitting light, but at various degrees. Actually, the non-believer, it's almost dark. And you think, how can light be almost dark? The Bible says, let the light in you not be darkness. How let the light in you not be darkness? But everyone here is emitting light. Now, in the spirit, you'll be shocked. Say when someone has an issue with their hand, that particular area can be darker than the rest of the body, because it's not supposed to be like that. It's not supposed to be dysfunction. Eh. Someone has fibroids in the spirit, you can see a dimmer light. So you can know how and where to minister healing. Now, some people are just saying, I'm speaking this for specific people. Amen. You see, listen to me carefully. You emit light. Every time you capture a revelation, the light grows.
Amen.
Now, when the light grows, there are levels of darkness you can conquer.
Amen.
Because even darkness has degrees.
Amen.
Ah, okay. Too tight? Okay. Have you ever asked yourself, how do scientists here on Earth look at a planet or a galaxy miles away and can tell that it's made of hydrogen? Did they go there? Because they discovered that the elements on the periodic table, remember you guys periodic table?
Yeah.
The periodic table, every element created here on Earth emits light and a different kind. So what they do, just get a telescope and test the type of light that is coming. And you can tell which element it is. Okay. So now, you in the spirit, what is blood to you here? The Bible says the life of a creature is in its blood. Leviticus 17:11. Okay? What that means, by the way, there's a guy I landed on years ago who had the capacity to pick blood. Anyone's blood. Look at it and prophesy using it. By the way, if there's anyone who has messed me up, it's that chap. Because the Bible, and you hinge on that scripture, Leviticus 17:11, The life of every creature is in its blood. So God puts DNA. When someone is sick, they check the blood. When someone, everything is in there. Bop! And so someone comes, just touches the blood, and can tell, my God, and can tell your future. That's why I say there are dynamics of prophecy. Now, the moment you understand that the nine gifts have dynamics, you won't try to be like someone else.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
So, but no, you see, the prophet, this is how he prophesies. Me, I want to prophesy like that. Now, some people, I hope you won't get vials of blood. There are dynamics in the spirit. And the day I learned that, I got released. Everyone here has a gifting that God has put, whether it's in singing, whether it's in art, whether it's in what, and you have your way. Not only do you have your own thing, you get the message I taught on angels. God attaches an angel, first of all personally, then for every revelation you get. And I'm not just talking about, okay, no. I'm talking about being a steward of that revelation. Do you know that the way revelation works is this in the spirit? That sometimes there are things that God reveals and he gives them to particular men. Pop! That man becomes the steward. Anyone who wants it cannot do it without connecting. Now, when you reject the man, you've rejected the revelation. Okay. So, no, let me not touch it. Do you know this country is extremely spiritual? This country, both divine and dark. There's a friend of mine from years back. She's not around. But she gave me an experience that she had. I told this story sometime back. She met a guy in a certain church in town. And the guy was a spiritual chap. And he was speaking language that she doesn't understand. He was saying, stop blocking me. Allow me to enter. Now you just imagine. Fellowship has just ended. May the grace of our Lord Jesus. A guy walks up to you. Stop blocking me. I'm trying to enter your mind. You know? She's like, eh? Now you don't know you've landed because these chaps go around looking for people who have some sense of spirituality. And they love to check. I wonder how deep this guy is or how strong they are in the spirit. So this lady tells me this story. I said somehow this guy got her number and kept calling her. There's a lion at your gate. Huh? You removed the lion. What the heck are you talking about? I know she told me this story. I was so amused. Okay? So some spiritual chap thinks that you know exactly what is around you, but for you, you have no clue. Now, let me tell you something. If you see in the spirit, anyone who's a child of God, you will never get intimidated when you come out of your house and someone has put believes witchcraft. Never get intimidated by such nonsense. Because the moment you stand your ground like this, in the spirit, the things that are around you, they just see, oh my God, that guy's a witch doctor. Sometimes we get visitors in certain fellowships. They come and sit, total darkness. But you know the moment you say, by the way, that guy is dark, the whole room. They start marking him. Because you have been conditioned to fear darkness. Now, hear what the Spirit is saying. Behold, I do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Your husband is not as far as you think. And I'm not talking about in times of time duration. I'm talking about geography. I'm talking about geography. You can go pursue a particular gang, and the one you're standing next to is your wife. This one keeps saying no, keeps saying no, keeps saying no. I tell, Do you know as men of God, sometimes we can mess up chaps. I can say now it's time to prophesy to each other. And I see the spirit, two people that are meant to be doing. Then I just relocate, and you think it's random. Now you're going to relocate us. and you think it's random, and you just like, you know, prophesy, the guy even gets it wrong. And for you, you see nothing. We know how to play with you, because the Lord puts us, gives us limits. When it comes to things that are personal, they must be made by you. The decision must be made by you. Now, hear me carefully. Learn to see that the eyes of your understanding might be opened.
Amen.
There are people here,
amen,
who, and I know, there are people who are constantly seeing things. Now, let me deal with those kinds of people. Yesterday, I just saw a star, it passed. Eh? Then, a few seconds later, an angel has walked in. 10 seconds later, you know, there are people like that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that there is a natural man and a spiritual man. Natural means your 5 senses have developed, but you have not gone beyond them. So you make conclusions based on your 5 senses. In other words, when your husband comes, if he doesn't look right, man of God, you're so wrong. Huh? Alright, so you depend on your 5 senses. That's a natural man. Yes? Now please understand, when a natural man is taken to the spirit world, he sees things but doesn't understand what he's seeing, because it's foreign. When a spirit man, one who's developed all his senses but neglected the natural, comes back to the natural, that man might have had spiritual experiences, but he can't translate them to the natural. So it's just, they're too many. Yeah, I'm seeing this, what does it mean? I don't know. I'm seeing this, what does this mean? I don't know. That's why you must learn, even as you grow in the natural, to learn how the natural connects to the spirit. Because God often uses natural things to explain spiritual mysteries. So that's why the magi in scripture, or magi, depending on what you say, they see a physical star, but it's an implication of something spiritual. Are you with me? In your life now, and these are the signs I'm talking about, you're getting physical signs,
amen,
implying of spiritual things, but you don't perceive. Huh? Now, may your eyes open in the name of Jesus. Huh? Huh? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
May they open. I have learned that by the Spirit, perceiving is so important. If you've learned to deal with it, it's so important that you can tell, you can tell, this is not my guy. And I'm not talking about using intellect. Look at how he's dressed, but I tell what, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, and even getting a guy simply because of how he looks. Huh? God can mess you up. Huh? And indeed, on one level, he can come exactly as you want him to be. May that be your portion.
Amen.
Or she can come exactly as you want her to be. In the name of Jesus. Eh? But more often than not, God is ambiguous, because he wants to train you to be able to have his will combined with yours, so that you don't become a good robot. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, let me tell you, getting married before the year ends is not an impossible thing. It's not an impossible thing. Getting to work in the UN before the year ends, is not as impossible as you think it is. Starting ministry before the year ends is not as impossible as you think it is. Because in the spirit, there's no time. There was a sign that was given to you on Tuesday. Did you see it?
Yes.
You saw it? Or you're just shaking your head because of the 1,000? Huh? There's a specific sign that was specifically for you. It says here, and you and I know what I'm talking about. Huh? Okay, you come back to me and I'll tell you. It was specific for you. It was literally like God was saying, Katigwe Hilda. Lava. Specific sign for you. So even here, there are things I've been doing. I'm trying to get to certain people, but and there are times I wish I could just tell you plain, but then you miss your reward. Because rewards come when you capture something yourself. Huh? I'm speaking to certain people, specifically. I know. Okay, let me finish. Now, let me get the scripture quickly, and then we leave this place. See? Huh? I think I've lost the scripture. Okay, I'll just end. I've lost it in my mind. There's something the Lord was teaching me, that sometimes when he wants to teach you something, he takes you to the past. Well, now what does that mean? He takes you to the past. And there are people in scripture. Remember when I taught about Moses? And I said that in Genesis, Moses writes about Adam in the garden. How does he know what happened in the garden? Let me take it quickly. Genesis chapter 12. Eh? Something you all know, most likely. Actually, start from Genesis chapter 11. From like verse 30. Huh? Chapter 11, verse 30. Okay. Next verse. Now, you see. Terah, who's Terah? Terah was Abraham's father. Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. Where were they going? Where were they going? Who's taking them? Okay, first stop and think. Terah is taking Abraham, his wife, his sons, to Canaan. The same place in the next chapter where God says, now go to the land of. Okay? Now, next verse. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, the Bible says that while going to Canaan, they rested in a place called Haran, which, by the way, is the same name as his son. Yeah? Okay, go back. And Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran. Yes? His son's son. So Lot's father was called Haran. The same place where they settled. Huh? We'll see. And they went forth with them from out of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. So they're on their way to Canaan. They find a place called Haran. The same place, same name as the son. Who, by the way, that son died in Haran. Not only that, Terah also dies in Haran. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now, after these guys have died, the Lord says, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Alright? Take me to verse 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of where? They depart from where? Okay. There's a guy called Stephen. He's going to be stoned. Acts chapter 7, he begins to speak and annoys everyone. He's a know-it-all. Take me, Acts chapter 7, verse 1. Then said the high priest, are these things so? Verse 2. And he said, men, brethren, this is Stephen, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in, before he dwelt in, which is Haran. Now, I've just read to you a scripture where we say God spoke to Abraham in Haran and said, leave. Here is a man with the Spirit of God upon him, speaks and says something that is not in the Old Testament. He's saying God spoke to Abraham before he dwelt in Haran. So that means there were two speakings. Hang on, you guys. One before he reached Haran and one in Haran. Now, isn't that extra biblical literature? Isn't Stephen speaking outside of what the Old Testament says? And this is where people need to be serious. Because when you tell me to stick to scripture, a huge percentage of the Old Testament, the New Testament quotes the Old Testament out of context. Constantly. If you read, give me Acts 7:25. Quick. This is about Moses. He supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. This is not in the Old Testament. Stephen is speaking and saying when Moses was going to kill the Egyptian, he wanted to show the people that God had chosen him. Where did he get that from? No, you tell me. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 8. I want to drill it in, then I close. 2 Timothy 3:8. Now, as this is Paul speaking, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Now, these are the chaps who the Bible says were the magicians. They threw down their sticks and they became snakes. The Old Testament doesn't tell us that. Where does Paul get that? Even if it's oral tradition has half-truths. You need to have the Spirit of God to determine that this is actually true. Now, here's my point. That there are experiences a man can have in this age that seem like they're not part of scripture, but they're of God. But they are always rooted in scripture. But they are of God. God can mess you up totally. And so you need to learn now, hear me children, that if you realize how big your call is, getting a husband or a wife is so small. It's like tiny. Going to work in World Bank, extremely tiny. Extremely tiny. Now what do you do? You need to learn to anchor yourself. Be like Kenneth Hagin. Get one scripture, even if it's one, and you don't know how to pray, just keep on repeating it. Amen. You repeat it. In the spirit, you conform to it. Amen. A time comes when you're carried to that room. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's the reason why a teacher can prophesy.
Amen.
And a prophet can teach.
Amen.
And a fashion person can what? Add? An accountant can be what? Can do IT, eh? Now, I have to encourage you. I need to encourage you. When I walked in, I sensed some people need some uplifting. Hear me carefully. That by this time next year, first we start by this time tomorrow, eh? Hey, you'll be in a better place.
Amen.
We start from there. But by this time next year, you will look at yourself and say, Naigwe. Let me touch a friend of mine. Have you seen certain pictures of guys a year before, 2 years? Then I'll touch him. then you're like, surely the glory of the Lord. Eh? And yet when you're with them, they look the same. I'm telling you, a person's life can change in an instant.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.